You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff like this, you know what they're saying? Something is wrong with me.
Practice.
Welcome to Positive Cynicism. I am your host, Chad Smart. Those of you familiar with the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network may know me from appearances on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast with Kevin Hunsberger. It was kind of Kevin who gave me the inspiration to spin off and do my own podcast. And this show has been months in the planning and weeks in the taping. It's, you know, doing the podcast with Kevin, we sit down and we go for an hour, no problem. I was like, this will be easy. And then I start recording and realize it's not that easy. Kevin makes it sound so much easier than it actually is. But it also helps when you have a specific topic in mind, whereas Kevin, you know, he's got the wrestling angle wrapped up. This show is more freelance. It's more freestyle. I'm just going to be picking a different topic at random on a weekly basis, hopefully, and seeing what happens. And also, it's a lot easier when you have someone else to help carry the conversation. Being a one-man band and trying to fill time by myself, I'm not going to say it's hard, but it's just weird walking around my apartment talking to myself. One of the hardest parts in coming up with this show is actually trying to figure out what the show was going to be about and what the name Positive Cynicism actually represents. One of the inspirations for the show, it's one of my favorite movies, is Pump Up the Volume, where Christian Slater has his pirate radio station and just espouses his own views and takes on the world around him. And that's why the beginning of the show is a snippet from Pump Up the Volume. And I think the cynicism part is a persona that I have built up over the last 20 years, in that other people might call me a cynic. I call myself a cynic, but really I like to view myself as a realist, and in which case I view things not in the way that a lot of people see things. I don't try to be negative. I just try to be honest. And so I don't look at the world through rose-colored glasses. I don't, you know, it's not all rainbow and sunshine. And depending on what you're talking about, some people view that as a cynical way of looking at life. But at the same time, I'm trying to spread some positivity into the world. I want to encourage people to make a change, to not focus on just the negative. At the same time, I don't want to just be negative or cynical on the show. I want to spread positivity. I want to look at topics that inspire people and encourage people to go out and do something. So I also value the yin and yang philosophy in life. I try to take the good with the bad. So when I thought of Positive Cynicism, it just jumped out at me as the perfect title for this podcast. And as I said, from week to week, who knows what we're going to cover this week. We're going to be talking politics. Next week, we're going to be talking hockey. So who knows what's going to come after that. It should be an interesting ride from week to week. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. And speaking of politics, right after this break, we'll be back and we'll see how many listeners I can alienate within the first episode.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network and host of the Nerds United Podcast. And what will you hear on the Nerds United Podcast? Well, you'll hear conversations with me and artists or writers, creators of comic books. You'll hear panel discussions from some various regional comic cons. You'll hear cosplay. You'll have celebrity interviews. It all happens here on Nerds United. You never know what to expect. Sometimes you might just get into a half hour of me rambling aimlessly, sometimes with a little aim, kind of like guys in the urinals. And never mind. But you'll get some ramblings of me, my thoughts, and maybe even some suggestions on some books to read. Pick up at your local comic book store. That's where it all starts, your local comic book store. So head on over there, grab a handful of comics, and put on Nerds United, either in the car or while you're reading.
Welcome back to Positive Cynicism. So this first episode, as I mentioned earlier, it's taken a while to get out and to record. And part of that is I had an idea in place. And then the more I thought about it, I couldn't figure out what angle I wanted to take. And then it just got to the point where I was like, do I even want to talk about this? Because it's kind of all over news now anyway. So throwing in my 1, 2, 3 cents really isn't... probably is not going to, one, change anybody's opinion, two, probably get people to not listen to me because it's so oversaturated. So I decided to go in a different direction, but then I decided I still had all these thoughts in my head. So I'm like, no, I'm going to go ahead and give at least the Cliff Notes version of what was supposed to be the full first episode. And then we'll go into something else after I'm done. So without further ado, let's just say if you hate Donald Trump, I don't care. 2 months ago, Donald Trump was freely elected president of the United States. And after the election, it seemed like on a weekly basis, there was some new theory as to why he shouldn't be president or why we shouldn't count his electoral victory. And, you know, first it was he was elected by the racist. You know, all these racist people who had just elected a 2-term African-American president finally came out of wherever all these racists have been hiding and chose one white person over 3 other white people. So I don't really understand how that's racist. And I understand, I know the argument that people made with the KKK supported Donald Trump and the alt-right, which is a term I had never heard of before it became cool to blame them. And I saw one poll that the majority of people who had heard of the alt-right were members of the extreme left. So I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I just think it's a straw man argument to be put up. And if you are a diehard liberal listening to this, here's a little piece of advice. The race card doesn't work anymore. We've spent 8 years listening to, instead of coming up with an argument to anyone who didn't like something President Obama did or didn't like President Obama himself, the excuse was always, well, you're racist. The race card has been thrown out there so much that it has lost all meaning. You liberals are the boy who cried wolf when it comes to racism. So when you get someone, i.e. Donald Trump, who says something racist, and the first attack is to claim that he is a full-blown racist, no one's going to listen to you because you've been calling everyone who isn't a Democrat or liberal a racist for the last 8 years with zero proof to back it up or zero argument to support your case. It's just the go-to de facto, I have no argument, I can throw this out there and the conversation is over type statement. So anyway, we get past a week of the racist help Donald Trump wins or help Donald Trump win. And then, well, that didn't stick. Okay, what's next? Well, then it became, oh, the fake news. The fake news was all over social media. Well, I hate to tell you, but both sides are guilty of fake news. And when it was started to be pointed out that the left is just as responsible as putting out fake news, then the fake news argument kind of quickly went away. And that became, you know, well, Donald Trump's an illegitimate president because he didn't win the popular vote. He only won the electoral vote. If you honestly think that Donald Trump should not be president because he did not win the popular vote, please go find Jeff Foxworthy for me because you are not smarter than a fifth grader. The popular vote does not matter. And if you think it does, I ask you, if the roles were reversed and Donald Trump won the popular vote and Hillary Clinton won the electoral vote, would you claim Hillary was not a legitimate president? Would you be fighting and protesting and saying Donald Trump should be the president because he won the popular vote? Based on the hatred towards Trump, I'm going to guess the answer is no. And if that's the case, if you would not support Donald Trump had he won the popular vote and Hillary the Electoral College, then your argument that Donald Trump should not be president because he won the Electoral College doesn't matter. Once people realized how our electoral system is set up and the way that it has been for over 200 years and will most likely continue for hopefully at least another 200. Then the next argument was, well, Russia hacked the election, and so the vote shouldn't matter because, you know, shouldn't be allowed because Russia hacked. Russia didn't hack the election. Secret information was released by WikiLeaks from Democratic emails. WikiLeaks has said the information did not come from Russia. I don't know if you can really trust WikiLeaks, but that's what they said. I have read conflicting reports. Some say top agencies and, you know, information agencies within our government say Russia hacked. Others say they have no clear proof. Again, going back to the fake news cycle, I think the left media wants to make you think Russia hacked, and so they're going to push that narrative. But I don't know if it's the truth, and it could be, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, yeah, maybe. But it doesn't matter. The information that came out, it's the Russians didn't hack the election in that they didn't go in and tabulate extra votes or take votes away from Hillary. And if they were going to hack the election that way, don't you think they would have had Trump win the popular vote? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they were actually smart enough, if they were going to do this, to have him not win the popular vote so that they could cast more doubt into the election results. But the information that came out was just Democratic emails, which no Democrat ever contested and claimed were not true emails. All the information was, you know, was accurate. It was information that was written by the people whose email they were attached to. So in that regard, the only thing that happened was the American public got to see what the Democrats were really all about. And if you were a Bernie Sanders supporter and all this information comes out, how the DNC was working to help Hillary, you know, through the primaries, and she was being handed answer or questions from the primaries ahead of time, shouldn't you be more mad that the DNC was collaborating to put the fix in for Hillary then, instead of being mad that Hillary lost an actual contest. And that brings me to my final point is, in all of this, in the last 2 months since the election, the only person who has not accepted blame for Hillary losing is Hillary. She's the one, you know, we can sit here and argue emails, they don't matter, and who cares, and all this. If Hillary hadn't set up a email server that very few people knew about, there would never would have been an FBI investigation. She wouldn't have had to delete 30,000 emails. So Hillary should take the brunt of the blame. Also, how come no other top-level Democrat ran for president? You're coming off a two-term Democratic president who has a favorable rating, and only four Democrat politicians step up to take his place, three of whom never had a chance of winning. And then you have Bernie Sanders, who wasn't even a Democrat running as a Democrat because, well, it would have been easier to get on the ticket that way. And had he got the nomination, he would have gotten access to the Democratic Party's money to help him help support his campaign. But the DNC had, ever since 2008, said Hillary Clinton will be president. By hook or by crook, she is the person. Unfortunately, in 2008, some up-and-comer named Barack Obama stepped in and stole the show. And then she had to wait 8 years, since she obviously couldn't run against him in 2012. So now 2016 was supposed to be her time. The DNC has it all staged. Well, it's, you know, I mean, Lincoln Chafee, who has no one knew and have probably forgotten about since the primaries, Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, none of these people had any type of name recognition, which sadly is what it takes to be a successful politician in America. But it was always designed for Hillary to win this election. Then funny thing happened. Donald Trump decided he was going to run. And at first, you know, it was the novelty aspect of this non-politician, reality star, celebrity, for being a celebrity person, got the attention of the masses. I honestly thought it would be a joke. I did not think anybody would vote for him. But see, that's where a lot of people fail to recognize. Donald Trump is a smart businessman, and he ran his campaign like a business. He figured out what resonated with the crowds, and he tailored his speeches exactly to that. And to me, that I consider Trump and Obama to be very much a similar person or a similar candidate. Both had limited experience. I know Trump has no political experience. Obama was a state senator for a few years and a U.S. senator for a few cups of coffee before setting out to run for president. But if you look over his record, very few actual accomplishments while in office. So, and then they both had a great slogan: hope and change, make America great again. It's simple. It's wrestling philosophy. You get a catchphrase, you get popular. So Trump, you know, he comes out and during the primary season, and this is where I think we're still feeling the ramifications today, the media, in my opinion, the media decided that they were going to promote Trump because if he were to win the nomination, Hillary would have no problem beating him because he wasn't a politician. And it would cause more cracks in the Republican armor. The party would start to crumble more because no one wanted to get behind him in the Republican Party. No one wanted to support him. And if he comes out the winner, either the Republican Party has to back someone they don't like, or you cause dissension and possibly have a Republican candidate run as a third party candidate. But during the whole primary, like the media created the Donald Trump monster. You look at how much spending Donald Trump did during the entire campaign, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I remember reading a week before the election that there was concern that Donald Trump didn't even want to win because he wasn't spending money. He didn't have campaign offices in a lot of the battleground states. But Trump knew what he was doing because the media was always there to promote him. If he said something stupid, the media was there. The media wanted to make him out to be such a crazy candidate that no one could support. And in any other year, that may have worked. 2016, though, wasn't a normal year because Trump was facing off against Hillary Clinton, probably the worst actual political candidate. That's hyperbole. I don't know history that well, so I'm gonna back off from that. But Hillary Clinton was not a good candidate. And, you know, going back to the Russians hacking and influencing the election, there's the famous tape that NBC News released, or NBC released, about Donald saying, you know, it's okay to grab women and a few other unsavory comments. Now, NBC had held this tape for several years, kept Donald Trump employed while knowing of this tape, and release the tape right before the second debate. If that isn't a sign that the news is trying to manipulate or control, influence the election, I don't know what is. And I am not going to defend Donald Trump's comments. I do not support that aspect. But the problem is when the liberals decided to get outraged over these comments and say, you know, Donald Trump is not qualified to be president because of them. On the other side of the aisle, Bill Clinton was kind of looking around nervously, kind of whistling, trying to make sure people weren't looking at him. And I know the debate, like Bill Clinton wasn't running for president. It doesn't matter what he did. Had Hillary won, Bill would have been part of the package deal. He would have been in the White House. He would have been influencing probably some of her decision-making process. And you can't... Bill Clinton's allegations against Bill Clinton are much stronger than allegations against Donald Trump. Again, not downplaying what Trump said, not discrediting that opinion that people should be outraged about it, but in this election, you can't take the moral high ground against one person when the other side is just as guilty. So now Trump is our president, and there are still a lot of angry people and upset people, and I understand being upset because the candidate you wanted didn't win. But there's being an adult and being graceful in losing and being childlike and throwing tantrums just because you don't like who is in office. And I think that right there is the biggest problem that we're facing today. Just because you don't like Trump doesn't mean he doesn't get to be president. So now we have people that are angry that Trump is president. And the day after he took office, they had the Women's March that drew huge crowds. Huge. Some say they may have even drawn more people than Trump drew to his inauguration speech. I don't know. I've seen the photos. I can't tell. I commend everyone who went out and protested and did it in a peaceful manner. I have friends who went to the one in Los Angeles, and talking with them, they said, you know, it was a very peaceful, it was a very communicable experience. And the fact that I think they had between 650,000 and 750,000 people and no arrest. Like, to me, that is amazing. And I applaud that. I don't really understand what the purpose of the march was. You know, I mean, I can understand women's rights, equal rights. I don't understand wearing vagina hats and vagina costumes. I think I'm missing. I mean, I know it goes back to comments Trump made and women standing up, but this is where I'm confused, because Trump, other than making said comments, I have not heard Donald Trump say anything about possible legislation. That's not entirely true. I know he did make a comment that women who have abortions should be punished, which he quickly wrote, walked back, and I don't know. I'm really curious to see what Trump does regarding women's rights, because to me, as a centrist political spectrum person, it's always funny to me to hear when Republicans, conservatives say, you know, a liberal is going to take away guns, and then the left says, oh, that's just fear-mongering, but the Republicans are going to take away your rights. Like, it's both sides of the argument that feed off people's fears. So I'm curious where Trump is going to go. Personally, I don't think he's going to take away rights. I hope I'm correct. But getting back to the marches and everything, it's, I like that people are now paying attention. Unfortunately, kind of going overboard in the paying attention aspect. And this is coming from my point of view for the last 8 years of watching people fawn over Obama and not really care what he did as long as he remained cool. And I know I started paying attention to Obama when he was running for Illinois senator. I was working in news in Illinois at the time, working with news. And I just kept remembering when he would come in the area and speak, and reporters would come back and say, oh, this, he's so awesome, he's going to be president someday. I never saw what they saw. Because all I see when I see Obama is this kind of used car salesman type flashy guy who can, he's very persuasive, but he's not really saying anything. And I know friends who may be listening will tell you that I hate Obama. I don't hate Obama. I wasn't a fan. I didn't support him for president. I supported him as president. I wanted him to do well, because if he did well, the country does well. But I never bought into the cult of Obama. And you know, I had a roommate when Obama first was president, in the lead up to the election. My roommate, I'm pretty sure, thought Obama was the greatest president we'd ever had before he'd been elected. And that's what I don't understand, and I don't get, and I don't like. And I see the opposite with Trump. I see people who liked Obama simply because he was cool. He's the guy you want to have a beer with. You know, Obama was going on Jimmy Fallon and reading the news, or going on ESPN and doing his NCAA brackets. And, oh, man, that's what we, you know, that's a cool president. And Donald Trump is, well, he's Donald Trump. He's pretty much the antithesis of cool. And so after watching 8 years of having a president where the media didn't challenge, the general populace didn't challenge, now we have a president that no matter what he does is going to be criticized. In the lead up to recording this podcast and trying to formulate my ideas, I had a conversation with a friend who had been commenting on social media regarding all of Trump's decision-making and his cabinet picks and criticizing them. And I asked her, I said, you know, how many of Obama's cabinet members can you name besides, and I think she said the two secretaries of state, press secretary and vice president. So my question is, if you couldn't name the cabinet members, if you didn't know what decisions Obama was making on a daily basis, why, and you can't do it because, you know, because you didn't care, or you just, hey, it's Obama, it's cool, whatever he does, awesome. Then why do you care so much about Trump? And I know you can say, well, he doesn't support the things I do, and I want to make sure I keep my rights and I do that. Okay, that's valid. But then get upset when he does something to take away your rights, when he does something you don't like. Don't get upset when he names somebody that is more in line with his philosophy and his agenda than your agenda. Because newsflash, pretty much I guarantee that he's not going to pick anybody that a liberal would have chosen for a cabinet position. I don't want to say don't pay attention to Trump. I fully support paying attention, and I fully support questioning everything that he does. But at the same time, don't get outraged over everything he does. I saw a story today that when he got onto Air Force One, he did not turn and wave like all the presidents have done before him. And oh my gosh, he's so rude, and he didn't wave. I can't believe he didn't wave. Why didn't he wave? I don't know why everybody else has waved. Who cares? He waved when he got off. Granted, it was in another city, so. But if you are going to be outraged over everything that Donald Trump does for the next 4 years, you're going to live a very miserable next 4 years. Because as someone flat out support Trump, but chooses Trump over Hillary, even I question a lot of the things Donald Trump does. Getting into a pissing contest over who had the larger inauguration, who cares? There are bigger issues as president to focus on. Look, we're not all going to agree. And that's another point to point out. Like, when Trump does something that you don't like, that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means he has a different agenda or a different perspective than you do. 3-4 years down the road, when this legislation actually kicks in to have an effect that you can measure, you can look back and say, well, yeah, see, that was a bad idea. I told you that would be bad and it was horrible. Or maybe you say, well, I didn't like it, but it did spur the economy, or it did do this. You know, it did do something positive. I don't know. It's no decision is going to be great or horrible 5 minutes after it is signed. Will Donald Trump make a lot of bad decisions? Most likely. Will he make good decisions? Hopefully. But as with most or all presidencies, time will be the key factor. We won't know really what happens for several years down the road until everything kicks into place and we see how it is followed up, what happens. So again, I say, if you're going to be outraged on a daily basis, find a hobby, because you're just making yourself miserable. I kind of got off track. I was going back to the march. I like that people got involved. I don't agree necessarily with what they chose to do, simply because come Sunday, when these millions of people go back to their homes, what has changed? Nothing. The same thing, everything is still in place on Sunday morning that was there Saturday morning before the march. The only upside is the stores on Etsy who are selling vagina hats probably went, woohoo, we made a killing this month. The poster board and marker companies are like, wow, look at this spike in sales for this day. Awesome. But then once you leave and you go back home, everything is still the same. So instead of gathering and chanting whatever we're being chanted, why not take that time? If you are really involved in women's rights, if you really care about them, go volunteer at a women's shelter. Go volunteer with an LGBT center, I guess. Go help other people. Don't just stand in a huddled mass and say, we hate Trump, resist. Go out and actually do something. Do pretty much anything that helps some person. And that's really, that's actually part of why I started this podcast, is hopefully try to encourage people, like, and myself included. I am guilty of this myself. But sitting at home complaining doesn't do anything. Going on social media and tweeting, oh, Trump is dumb. Going on Facebook and being like, oh, here's a news story from Huffington Post and MSNBC that says Trump's an idiot. That doesn't do anything. If you really care, if you want to make a difference, go out and do something. And when you see stories in the news, when you see stories on social media, whatever, question who's writing it. Question what their agenda is. Question what is the slant they are trying to sell you. Because in the first week of Trump's presidency, the majority of the stories that I saw, the headlines were framed so negatively that it influences perception. And it's not a coincidence. It's Trump and the media don't like each other. And I have to agree with something I saw yesterday on an article. Trump is not a bully. Trump is actually just calling out the bullies, because the media will try to attack Trump and try to discredit him. And all he's doing is being like, giving it, you know, he's standing up to them, which is part of the reason why he succeeded over 18 other Republicans in the primaries. Because if any of the other Republicans, if the media would have came at them the way they came after me, after Trump, they would have backed down. They would have apologized. So they're like, oh, no, I'm not racist. I'm sorry. I don't do this. Or I'm not sexist. Trump's like, yeah, this is me. Whatever. What do you got? Trump is a fighter and will take it to the media. It's not going to be pretty. It's not presidential. But the media itself is also not blameless in this creation of the Trump monster. I'm kind of getting off track and going all over the place here. Basically, what this all boils down to, and I said this was the Cliff Notes version, so I can't imagine if I'd actually done the full rant. What it comes down to is this. Donald Trump is a freely elected president. He will be that way, assuming nothing happens, and he doesn't get bored and decide to go back to being a reality TV star. He will be president for the next 4 years, at least. If the majority of people continue whining and complaining about him, all it's doing is strengthening his base. So if you don't like what he's doing, get involved in politics. Find some way to help out. Find a candidate that you can support that may be able to take down Trump. But sitting and being a keyboard warrior, angry person on social media doesn't mean a damn thing. Because eventually all your words get blocked. I've seen so many negative Trump tweets and Facebook posts that I just roll my eyes now. It's so it's so predictable. So all I'm saying, whether you like him or you hate him, no, it's mainly if you hate him, I'm not saying get over it. I'm not saying move on. I'm saying keep that anger, but channel it into a productive manner. Do something positive. And on a final note, if you are one of these idiots who wants to say, not my president, please don't ever speak to me, because that is the biggest load of immaturity that you can say. It's, again, Donald Trump is a freely elected president of the United States. He is the president. Hopefully he works for all of America. Is he going to? Probably not, because most presidents don't. Most politicians don't. But he is our president. It will be that way for 4 years. Channel the hate into a positive manner. And actually talk to people with opposing viewpoints as you. Because I bet if you actually sit and talk to someone, you'd find out you have a lot more in common than you think. Or maybe you can figure out a way to use the differences and compromise into something productive. Just give it a thought. Just give it a thought. But question everything. Do something positive.
Hey everyone, Kevin Huntsberger here from My 123 Cents, the podcast, and my123cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion too. Again, it's My 123 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective. Thanks for listening.
I had intended this podcast to be more about the Oscar nominations that came out this week and not so much about the Trump rant, because, yeah, I figured the Oscars would be a little more lighthearted and I could play off the, you know, the aspect that last year there were zero African-American nominees and people were calling for diversity in Hollywood and you know, a white lash was started or complained about. And then this year you get a record number of African-American nominees. And is it coincidence or is it, you know, was it a move by the voters to try and nominate African-Americans to show like, hey, look, Hollywood, we're not racist. You make good performances too. I really have nothing to say, because of the nominated films, I have not seen any of them. I can't comment on the actual performances. I don't know if they're actually good or if they get the Meryl Streep treatment where you make it, you know, it was nominated just because. And yes, I do. Without seeing Florence Foster Jenkins, I'm pretty sure Meryl Streep, just if she makes a movie, she automatically gets nominated. And I don't agree necessarily with Donald Trump that she's overrated, but I think she gets an easier time for award nominations than a lot of other actresses. So I don't know. The Oscars are coming up, I believe, at the end of February or beginning of March. Based on the nominees, this is probably going to be a year that I skip the awards, because there's really nothing. There's no film that jumps out. La La Land will probably sweep because there's no competition, other than if something would pull a Trumponian upset. There's very little drama, I think, in the Oscars this year. I don't know. What do you think? Hit me up on Twitter at Chad Smart. Let me know what you think of the Oscar nominations. Are you excited about the movies? Because I'm curious, outside of the coastal elite cities, what movies people who actually pay to go and see movies, what do they think were the best movies this year? What was the best movie you saw this year? What movie do you think should have been nominated? I mean, obviously, I'm heartbroken that Batman v Superman wasn't nominated. And I can't believe that Hollywood, which is so big on women's rights and equality, didn't nominate a single Ghostbuster to be, you know, awarded Best Actress or Supporting Actress. I think it was a huge oversight. Anyway, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you think. You know, give me your thoughts on this podcast. It's a work in progress. First episode, very rough, very long time coming. Hopefully now be a smoother transition from recording to your listening to device. Next week's podcast, totally different subject, not political. Hopefully it won't get political, but, going to be at the NHL All-Star game this weekend. Weekend of activities, so I'll give you my thoughts on that. And if anything else comes up in the world, we'll talk about that too. But until next time, do something positive. Question everything.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.